All right, we're recording, Mr. Chairman.
All right, thank you, Chuck. I will go ahead and call the meeting to order. Welcome everyone to this month's edition of our ITAC meeting for October. We'll go ahead and remind everyone this is a public meeting, and we do accept in accordance with public meeting law, we will accept input questions. We do provide a link for the public to submit comments that's included on the agenda. Please feel free to submit items there, and the team will disposition those. With that, I will go ahead and request a roll call.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jagadishan Krishnamurthy.
Accept.
Ryan Kirkland. Eddie Cook.
Here.
Anthony Giacovino for Jeffrey Fleetham.
Here.
Stuart Bruner for David Byers.
Present.
Tim Romer.
I'm here.
Lev Gonick. J.R. Sloan?
Here.
Representative Wen. Senator Gray. Rebecca Pereira for Richard Stavnik.
I'm here, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, you have a quorum.
All right, thank you, Chuck. All right. Let's go ahead. We'll step in. Our first item of business is going to be approval of our September 21st recording. And we have noticed there are two items there. So we have the core meeting recording, as well as the executive session meeting minutes, which were distributed. So I'll say barring any nominal changes or corrections on the executive meeting minutes, we can address those. If there's material corrections that you have in meeting minutes for the executive session, we may have to go to executive session to discuss those to then finalize that. So I'll go ahead and put the request out there. If there are any material changes on the executive session minutes.
By your luck, Mr. Chairman, I did not receive that mailing of the executive session minutes. You get off for free.
That was not on purpose, Stuart. That was not on
purpose. Stuart, I will say that everything was clean and good.
All right.
Great, it works for me. Eddie's my partner.
Thank you, Eddie. All right. With that, then we'll take a motion with regard to both the recording and the executive session minutes.
Mr. Chair, I move to approve both A and B.
All right, thank you. Do we have a second?
This is Jiggy. I am seconding.
Thank you, Jiggy. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that's a unanimous vote. Thank you. We'll go ahead and we will address our consent agenda. There's one item on the consent agenda. Unless there's any desire to get into discussion, we will handle our consent agenda with a single motion.
Mr. Chairman, Stuart, I don't think it's material, but I am wondering in the ITAC or in the asset recommendation, there did appear to be a difference between the August 12th set of conditions and the latest set of conditions communicated on the 14th of October. Was that intentional? There were three conditions in August. There were two conditions in October. Maybe I just got the email pages wrong. Hang on. No, August 18th, I've got development costs exceeding by 10%. I've got monthly reporting, and then the addition of the Homeland Security, ADOA security, system security plan document.
And okay, so I guess the question there, Chuck, I don't know if you can address it or if one of our other team members can address, was the system security plan document condition satisfied, and that's why it was not reflected in the later report?
I'm going to check with my team. Just give me about 30 seconds.
Yeah, I don't know if that's material to pulling it off of the consent agenda. I'm just wondering if those, why it changed, that's all. You know, you're doubly glad you didn't send me those executive session minutes.
Let's move forward to the, through the presentation to the condition.
Okay. All right. We'll come back on the consent item. Let's go ahead and step forward into our first item.
We have this here. I want to pull up the official slide for conditions.
There we go. Okay. Was that not reflected in the documentation you see?
No, that's not reflected in the asset Gmail from Thomas O'Dowd to Director Tobin on October 14th at 7:40 a.m.
Okay, so that's an oversight. This is the official conditions, which match the original approval.
Okay.
We'll get that email updated and fixed, but thank you for pointing that out, Mr. Byrne.
Certainly. Yeah, thanks for catching that. All right, with that, I'll say a confirmed understanding of the conditions. Let's handle it. Are we prepared to handle the consent agenda? All right, I'll take a motion.
No, I'll move approval on the consent agenda item.
All right, thank you, Stuart. Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Jacobino. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, thank you very much. Another unanimous vote. All right, we will go to our first item for presentation and also for vote, which is the Department of Corrections, Rehabilitation and Reentry, bringing forward the camera modernization program.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Haley Greenberg. I'm an engagement manager with the Arizona Department of Administration. I am joined here today by members of the Department of Corrections, Rehabilitation, and Reentry, who will introduce themselves after a brief overview of the project. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, the camera modernization project investment justification requests approval to install new security surveillance cameras and improve overall network quality, coverage, and reliability to a number of facilities in the state, with an emphasis on the mental health areas of these facilities. The installation of these cameras in dedicated areas will allow better monitoring and give an increase in response time for any issues that arise where staff and or inmate safeties are concerned. The Arizona Department of Corrections took responsibility in realizing they had missed a few key steps in the project investment justification PIJ process, began engaging with ASSET at the beginning of September. Once the team had a better understanding of the process, they quickly worked together to present the overall program to ITEC to showcase a level of professionalism and transparency. At this time, I will turn this over to the project team to present additional information regarding the proposed project and answer any questions you may have.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'd like to introduce the members of my team. First is Scott Mandel. Scott Mandel is our engineer and program administrator. He was the one that provided us the funds for this effort. Along with that, I have Stephen Baird. Stephen Baird is our chief information officer who has recently joined our area beginning of October. I also have Kuru Matthew, who is our deputy CIO, who has joined us in January of 2022. I also have the member senior manager, Maureen Rodriguez. She is our field operations senior manager in charge of the technicians that are moving forward with this effort, as well as myself, Valerie Martinez, the information technology project manager. I also have with us members of the IT staff in the room today. Next page. Next slide. As stated from Haley, we have started this effort and are coming before you now as the board late in our effort, but we'd also want to address a number of items that we have taken into effect from this. As Haley stated, we have addressed with ASSET, ADOA ASSET in regards to our PIJ process. From that, we have made a number of changes to incorporate our PIJ process. With that, we've created standards and procedures that are now in place to prevent situations like this from occurring. We also will be implementing a project governance, which will track project process as well as procedures. We also now have our new CIO aboard that will help with the approvals of the projects going forward. And we are coming before you now to identify a whole initiative at a program level to keep you abreast of the future work initiatives that we have targeted for our area. Next slide, please. So from this, our program is able to identify two main areas of concerns: increased security for not only our inmates, but as well for our staff, as well as addressing our current network. From our program, we will be able to cover standardization by implementing a lifecycle management program across the agency within our 9 complexes. We will be able to provide a better, reliable response time and coverage for all areas within the complex. With this, we are utilizing new equipment, new processes that are in place, and being able to track at a more frequent and secure process and approach. Next slide, please. Yes. So from that, I'd like to speak specifically to what I would call our first phase of this effort, which is the mental health project. The mental health project, we noticed as a result from a discussion that was occurred from our executive management team and the medical staff director, there was a need to address the security concerns from both the inmate and the staff in the mental health complex areas, which became our first part of this initiative, which was focused mainly on our mental health areas. With this effort, we are bringing in new equipment, new security measures, and incorporating safety response time. Next slide, please. So with the mental health project, we have a proposed solution that is in progress currently. We've identified on the slide that we have 4 main areas that we are focusing in on. With that, we had to focus in on infrastructure that needed to be brought in that required us to work with state contract vendors, which have came in and completed the work. We've also been able to bring in the new equipment. We have new recorders that we are implementing, as well as installing more high-tech, more high-definition cameras within each one of the cells. With that, we are also able to provide in a secured room or a secured area for those viewing of the inmates and able to, within the new network that we have, be able to store the data in a more secure, timely fashion. Next slide, please. When we started this project, we identified 2 vendors that we were working with. And from that, we've met with them and talked about what is our responsibilities across the board in regards to this project effort. From that, we've worked with both End-to-End and Teletech. And from that, we've been able to meet with them frequently, had multiple discussions in regards to what the outline would look like, the number of resources that would be on board, how would we be presenting any type of change that needed to come from their findings, and discuss the deliverables. Since then, their work has been completed, but we have now been able to meet directly with Scott Mandel on a weekly basis to talk about, from an ADCRR internal to IT, what does it look like from us, addressing items that come up in our findings as we're doing the installs, addressing any type of change that might be required, communicating with him on a biweekly our bimonthly timeframe of being able to present where we currently are within our status. Overall, in our shared initiatives, we've been talking through what our plan looks like, talking through what our deliverables will be, and addressing any solutions that need to occur from what our findings are. I believe that from that, we are moving along. There are no items that we would consider major roadblocks, and we are performing to what the standards of what we defined. Next slide, please. On this is our project timeline. This really identifies the four main areas that I had mentioned. Once we identified what our equipment looked like, that did take some time in bringing in the new equipment. We then worked with our vendor to building out our infrastructure that is now completed, as stated. At one point, we were waiting for our cameras to come in. By mid-August is when we did receive all of our cameras. And so where we currently are in the project right now is installing of those cameras, as well as installing the displays or the videos that the video displays that we have for the viewing. Next page, please. As you'll note here on this slide, we have just the first year. And the reason I say that for the first year, with our purchase of our hardware, the equipment that we did choose, along with that was not only do we get new equipment that's high definition, but we also get what would I consider like the ability of the cameras themselves, the lifespan of them is a 5-year lifespan. Along with that, it also supports. So any type of next day support needed, if there is something that came up with the camera that we have available, that was all incorporated in the initial effort of the purchase of the cameras, reason for the first year. Also the implementation of the conduits and the infrastructure and such that was needed for this was also captured in the first year. So based on what we've provided within this first year, especially around the equipment, we were able to capture that all in the first year, not needing any additional funding for the remaining 4 years, as stated. Next slide, please. So as we talk mainly for the mental health, what does success look like to us? Our main focus is security. And we want to make sure that we're being able to respond in a quick enough time frame, not only for security of our inmates, making sure that they are in the right state of being able to respond quickly if there was a situation that came aboard, but we are also able to provide support maybe where it wasn't needed for a correctional officer that might not be in this specific area. By having this coverage, we're able to cover quite a bit of square footage, I would say. As listed in the last bullet, we originally had 85. Now we have 500 cameras. This gives us the ability to respond quickly. It gives us the ability to provide the support that's needed to both inmate and staff, as well as being able to capture the network or capture the data on a new network and present it in a presentable way that's needed if the situation arises. With that, next slide, please. So our future program, so presenting this overall as a program, we call this the camera modernization. We are truly looking at the life cycle management of our camera systems within all the 9 complex areas. We have other initiatives that we would like to bring on. And reason we're coming before the ITAC board today to say, yeah, yes, we came a little late on the mental health, but we have these other initiatives that we felt went in line with this effort. And these are just a few of the items that we are looking at. Going forward, we will create the pitches that are necessary for the work efforts as they come, and if the funding is available for us. These are just items that I wanted to present to you to say this is what we have targeted. We are requesting starting in fiscal year 24, and I want to make you aware of that. And as they come about, we would present as needed. With that, we'll move to our last slide and open it up for any questions.
Okay. Committee, Mr. Jacobino, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Question on those further projects that are going to be done as part of this. Will those come in as change requests to this, or will those be considered new pitches themselves?
I believe they would be presented as new pitches themselves.
Thank you.
I'm going to ask asset staff to comment on that. Are we running this as a program? How's it going to show up for the committee?
Mr. Chairman, this is for the record, Chuck Brown with ADOA Asset. So we're looking at this from a program standpoint. So the team will be developing a dashboard within the Salesforce system, similar to other programs, to track each pitch that gets associated with this. Should, when we do our final analysis, we conclude that each project can stand alone on its own as an individual implementation effort. So the committee would then get informational updates on a regular basis, either at frequency the committee decides, or they can leave it up to staff, right? So again, the staff has to go through the entire plan with this to make sure we feel confident it can run as a program, or come back to the committee with a change request if we feel necessary that it all be considered one pitch. So that final assessment I haven't done yet, as we've been getting moving to get this caught up to speed within the oversight process. But if it's a program, we'll be able to track each pitch individually on its status, its cost, its scope, and its time schedule, and then present that through informational updates to the committee.
Any further questions, Mr. Giacobino?
No, that's it. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions? I see Rebecca, you had your hand up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question about the five-year budget. I just was a little confused. Do these have a five-year, cameras have a five-year lifespan, or, and they need to be replaced in 5 years, or is it all this just five-year warranty?
Mr. Chairman and Mrs. Pereira, right now this is a five-year warranty, which covers the support.
Okay, Mr. Cook.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We have questions around the benefits of the project. How are you tracking or measuring the increased response time? Is that something like in the, you know, what I call fire department world, the police world, you know, they have a certain amount of response times where once they get a call, they have to respond within a certain amount of minutes. Is there something that you've been tracking already that you're targeting for improvement of response time? Is it, or is there some kind of a industry standard that you're basing the newer technology to improve? How are you measuring, or how are you keeping track of the measurement of that?
Yeah, and I'm going to jump in and add, just for clarification, the bullet says that you're going to increase the response time. Is that really what you mean?
No, yeah. I think I understand what it meant, but yeah.
I think I understand what it means too, but for the record, I want to ask the team to discuss or clarify whether we're actually increasing, i.e. lengthening the response time by having more cameras, or is there a different result we're going for here?
It's the decreasing of the time, the response time.
Okay, and to Mr. Cook's question, do you have established metrics for what the current response time is that you're looking to measure against? Are there, we'll say, an industry standard that you're going towards?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we do have metrics in place, and we are following the standard industry standards that are in place today, and we will be tracking those as we move forward in regards to the implementation and the watching of them.
Mr. Cook, any follow-up?
Is there, I think from the committee's perspective, you know, once this is implemented, love to see the results, maybe at a follow-up date, as to what those metrics might be, maybe as an informational?
Sure. Yes, Mr. Chairman, we will provide that.
Excellent, thank you.
Another question I have, the number of cameras that are being put in place, I think about, you're probably maintaining a history of these recordings for some period of time. I don't remember seeing what that might be. You do keep it for a week, a month, a year, and that leads to things like public records request, if there is some kind of a, you know, what I call safety issue with either someone on staff or an inmate, you know, what are our liabilities, you know, issues that might transpire by having more of these recordings available, you know, for possible litigation.
So Mr. Chairman and Mr. Cook, we, time right now is 14-day period, is a 14-day period.
Is that based upon state statute or I'm just trying to understand, you know, about recording.
It is state standard. Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. Mr. Bruner.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm still struggling with some confusion about what success looks like. Bullet D with 500 cameras at the completion of the project, and then that next slide with the future program, which has seven, what I understand to be separate projects. Just a question for the corrections team there. Is that 500 at the conclusion of the additional seven projects plus this one, or is that just in this initial thing we're evaluating today?
Mr. Chairman and Mr. Bruner, this 500 cameras is specifically for the mental health project. The other initiatives that we've identified for the future program would be additional cameras.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I can follow up with one other question about that future program. Mm-hmm. Is it fair to say then that the way we're headed right now, each of these seven projects that you listed on the future program estimated timeline will have individual procurements and potentially individual pitches or individual approvals with them?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Bruner, that is correct. There would be individual procurements that come from each project or initiative.
Okay, and so Mr. Chairman, where those trip the ITAC threshold, then we'll see them, and where they don't, it would just be an asset approval I'm taking. Which is why Chuck would have wanted to see this all up front to present, right, one big package, but that didn't happen. I understand.
Yeah, go ahead, Chuck.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Bruner. So that'll be part of the assessment I do going forward, is to make sure we see this as separate projects, right? It gives the indication of that right now.
Yep.
And that we could do separate individual purchases and full projects, but I want to finish up my homework on that. Either way, I have the ability to track it internally as an entire program, so I can see the entire expenditure, the progress through every individual effort internally, and then work with Department of Corrections to bring that back to the committee through periodic informational updates, and not only report on this individual effort, but the entire effort across the eight individual efforts. Does that make, am I helping clear it up at all, sir?
Yeah, no, that helps. Thank you, Mr. Brown. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No further questions.
So a question I'm going to ask is, you know, we're obviously well down the pipe with this project. I would like to hear a discussion of what the procurement process was. So did you run an RFP for this? Did you access existing state contracts for this? How did you get to the solution? What was the vendor selection and evaluation process?
We did run, Mr. Chairman, we did run this through the state on contract. We did present, we did receive three quotes that came from procurement. We were trying to address the timeline of what we were looking at, availability, when the equipment would be available to us to move forward, reason for the choosing of the two vendors that we chose that met within our regulations and with what we were looking for in our proposal.
Okay, thank you. That's helpful. All right, any other questions from the committee? If not, I'll turn it back over to you, Haley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Oh, I'm sorry, was there a question? No, just background. Sorry. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, ASSET is recommending that the PIDGE be approved with the following conditions as presented. We just have the standard two conditions here for the 10% and the monthly status reporting.
Okay, committee, any questions or discussion of the standard conditions? or any additional conditions you feel appropriate. Okay, if not, I will entertain a motion with regard to the project.
Mr. Chairman,
I'll make a motion to approve the project with the conditions noted.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Jacobino. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that's unanimous. Good luck for continued implementation with the project. Appreciate the steps that you're taking to put the proper measures in place to ensure that we don't have a miss in the future. I guess I would be remiss in being responsible for the purpose of this committee if I didn't say ignorance is not an excuse. And while I understand that things can happen when there is turnover and whatnot, but I appreciate that you're putting the documented processes in place that will survive individuals so that we can ensure that, this committee can fulfill its responsibilities and not be handling a decision on a project that's really already down the pipe. So good luck with this, and we'll look forward to the future presentations. Okay, we will move on to our next item, which is Department of Transportation and the Tri-Riga upgrade.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Michael Carpenter. I'm an engagement manager with the Department of Administration. I'm joined here today by members of the Department of Transportation who will introduce themselves after a brief overview of the project. The Department of Transportation is seeking approval to upgrade its integrated workspace management system, Tri-Riga, to the most current version. This would allow the agency to transition from an on-premises solution to a SaaS solution to better align with the state's cloud-first strategy and for continued support of the application. At this time, I'll turn it over to the project team for additional information on the project and answer any questions you might have.
Okay, Michael, thank you. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I guess you want to see the next slide, so please hit the next slide. There, thank you. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Steve West. I'm the CIO at ADOT. And for the purposes of the team here, a lot of my department is here, but for those purposes for the presentation, Bill Miller is here, Deputy CIO, Thomas Brandon, my security officer, and Wayne Dickert, who's the project manager on this one. I'll do most of the heavy lifting on the presentation. Please move to the next slide. So as an introduction, Tri-Riga was it's an integrated workspace management system selected by DOA back in 2015. It is currently being administered by DOA for ADOT, DES, and DPS, and has integration in the state's financial system and the procurement portal, which is APHIS and APP, respectively. I think we were informed in 2021 that ADOA is no longer going to move forward with the administration of Tri-Riga. And as a result, it didn't include any funding for support with the APHIS upgrade that is coming up. And that was approved by the legislature back in 2021. So therefore, DOA is going to discontinue support of Tri-Riga in July of 2023. And because ADOT, DES, and DPS were heavy users of Tri-Riga, it was important to continue with the application because of our past experience with the product. So as a result, it's ADOT's desire to upgrade to the latest version. As the current version, I believe, is 5 behind, is no longer supported. Next slide, please. Just want to talk a little bit about benefits, and Michael mentioned it. I mean, the proposed solution is for continued support of the current version of Tri-Riga. Again, it's a SaaS solution, which aligns with the state's Cloud First initiative. Among other things, it'll help our agencies not only manage existing facilities statewide, but help with building renewal projects, data management, analytics, central repository of documents, and drawings, which should help improve the efficiencies of our facilities teams. Next slide, please. Okay, I'm going to hand it over to Wayne Dickert now, who's the PM on this one. Take it away, Wayne.
Thank you, Steve. Mr. Chair, members of the committee. So the proposed solution is really, as mentioned earlier by Michael and Steve, is we need to, first of all, move the current solution out of the CGI data center and to a SaaS solution that will be managed by IBM. The proposed solution would have to first go through a conversion and validation, which would be to move it out of its existing SQL database into a current DB2 database. It will have to go through 5 iterations to enable it to do that, to get it moved across successfully. Once we've done that, the biggest lift will be to complete the application upgrade. So we're five years behind the, well, actually we're 7 years behind. The last upgrade was done in 2015. So it has to be upgraded one version at a time. So the heavy lift is literally going to be checking, doing the upgrade, monitoring it, tracking, making sure that everything that was validated and converted from a data standpoint is correct. Once we've completed all that, we'll go through a full migration into the new environment. Once it's actually been upgraded and migrated, then we'll have to go through full integration, end user testing, and a formal cutover plan, to the new system. So, you know, it's a lot of work. The heavy lift is really going to be in the upgrade and then converting the data across from SQL to DB2. Can we move to the next slide, please? So, I mean, we've done a lot of due diligence with this. I mean, ADOT has investigated other options. We did look at moving to MaxPanda when ADO went down that path. However, a big reason for us continuing to stay with this was the integration points, really, with APP and APHIS. And we have existing contracts in place that will enable us to continue working on it that we currently have with DES and DPS. So it just makes a lot of sense to keep the existing system. There's other agencies that see the benefit with staying on the current system as well. So the plan is to potentially stay on it, upgrade it, and utilize the new features and, you know, cloud first strategy. Next slide, if you don't mind. Okay, so just some of the project responsibilities, which probably are standard across most projects. From an ADOT standpoint, it's really requirements definition, making sure we've given them all the requirements they need. A lot of that should be in place because it's mainly just an upgrade, but we need to make sure that it's all correct. It will be data validation, doing all the end user testing and training. And then ADOT is also going to be responsible for administrating TriRiga for DPS and DES. And then we're also going to be responsible for supporting any system integration. Shared responsibilities across the board is really ensuring that the security requirements are met. We've had a lot of conversations between IBM and our internal team to make sure that that will be met. And then documentation of the systems used to make sure that, you know, once this is transitioned, handed over, we have a good understanding of the entire solution. Project management is going to be shared between both parties, but ADOT will take the lead to ensure that it's implemented successfully and correctly. The vendor will be responsible per the statement of work for all the application upgrade and validation, training, production environment cutovers, and any data conversion. Do we want to move to the next slide, please? The project timeline, we're hoping to kick off the project in the next week. And it's pretty much going to be go through, as I said, the application upgrade and validation with data conversion, the cutover. We're going to have from April next year to June 30th, post-production support, training, and any data management support that's required as part of the upgrade. So the project is just under 12 months. It's going to end as planned right now, providing we can get started in the next week or two. We will have it done by the end of the fiscal year, which is in line with ADOA's support contract ending. Can we move to the next slide? Okay, so the project cost for fiscal year 23, there's an implementation cost of $1.041 million with a software license of around $222,000, which will bring the initial project to $1.263 million. And then we've also got a 5-year support in place from an annual basis from fiscal year 24 through 27. Moving on to the next slide. This is just a breakdown because we know that the implementation costs are pretty high. We had IBM break that down to us so that we could get a good understanding of what the implementation costs include. If we look at these numbers here, this is pretty much how they've broken down their hours by their rate with the total cost. For a matter of information, the actual platform upgrade is probably majority of the hours. It's around 1,740 hours just for the actual upgrade, because we have to go through so many versions. That is probably the biggest part of the entire project is getting it up to date, because as Steve mentioned earlier, it's no longer supported, so we have to get it to its current state to ensure that, you know, we get everything we need. Can we move on to the next slide? This is the total budget. I think I went through that in the first slide. The initial budget for the first fiscal year 23 will be 1.263, with the base budget available, including support over the 5 years, of 2.2 million. Next slide. Just some of the, you know, measures of success. I mean, as we said, first and foremost, we're upgrading TriRiga solution, and it's going to be moving forward to SaaS solution, which is in alignment with IT governance and standards for cloud first strategy. That's first and foremost. And then also the upgrade is going to provide us with, you know, 4 years of later technology. I mean, the new platform, it has increased productivity. We'll eliminate a lot of waste between the agencies that will continue to use it. And then also, you know, we're going to gain a lot more improvements from an infrastructure standpoint, reporting standpoint, and optimizing, you know, from a general standpoint across the board. And then development of a facility management plan to optimize ADOT's footprint and support ADOT's work from an anywhere program. The next slide, please, is just any questions and answers.
Okay, we'll open it up to the committee for any questions. Mr. Bruner.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Dickert, I'm confused about some dates here. So I think you mentioned early on that it's 7 years behind. Product was installed in 2015, and yet you just mentioned 4 years ago was the last upgrade. Can you kind of put the timeline together for what's really happened with TriRiga?
Yeah, I apologize. So the last upgrade was back in 2015. So the current version now would have to go through 7 years. So I misspoke earlier. The last time it was updated was back in 2015. So we need to bring it up to its latest version. The current version right now is version 10.5X from 2015. And we're going to bring it up to version 11X 2022.
All right, thank you, Mr. Dicker. Mr. Chairman, kind of a follow-up for staff here. If this product was run by ADOA on behalf of these agencies, why would it not have been upgraded since 2015?
I had the same question myself, Mr. Bruner. I don't know. I'll say that is a
okay.
That was an issue of concern as I was listening to this go, you know, come out as well. Different quite so you know, point taken.
Yeah, it's not salient, I don't think, to the decision we're making today, but it raises an interesting question about the relationship between DOA, Max Panda, and Min Panda, perhaps. No, and TriRiga.
In this case it was yeah, the TriRiga solution is part of the APHIS deployment. Yes.
Okay, that's all I've got at the moment. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Stuart really wanted to find out if there are other applications that ADOA is supposed to be doing this, and can you have your teams verify and check that we make sure that this doesn't happen again?
Yeah.
That's not action taken. Okay, tell you what question I have, Mr. Dickert, if you could slide back to your timeline. A point of concern or question for me is I see a month for database conversion. And, you know, typically data conversions are the ugliest part of any upgrade. So questions that brings to mind for me are, what investigation has been done about the current state of the TriRiga application? What level of customization has happened? Has that rippled through into the database? Has that been taken into account? The multiple upgrade process you're going through, are there smaller incremental database conversions that are happening there? What is the mitigation strategy that if you flip through one of those and things don't go as planned, that you've got a way to recover?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So to answer your question there, so actually date of conversion, that's the final date of conversion we're going to look, which is actually between April 3rd and April 28th. In the bar line above, which is application upgrade and validation, we're going to be doing a lot of that initial validation and conversion, the initial conversion within those cycles. Okay. There's actually five conversion cycles that are going to take place throughout every application. So, and this is at this moment in time, it's a very high level plan where we are going to be working with IBM to build out the detail, but there definitely will be five conversion plans, conversions taking place throughout the life cycle. And that will happen through every stage of the upgrade.
Thank you. All right, any other questions from the committee?
No financial questions? Nope.
Okay, if I can, I'm going to call an audible and invite a member of our finance team, Joanna Grenaway, who actually has, I think, some answers to your question, Stuart, on TriRiga and how it was maintained. So Joanna, if you can come off mute and maybe introduce yourself and talk about that a bit.
Thank you, Chairman. My name is Joanna Greenaway, and I'm the Financial System Administrator, AFIS. So I just want to clarify, I think, a couple of the statements. How I'm understanding the presentation of Department of Transportation in regards to their TriRiga upgrade. They are taking on-premise TriRiga solution from 2015 and upgrading to the most current TriRiga solution, not the TriRiga solution, which was maintained by ADOA during, because a TriRiga solution is maintained until this day by ADOA. And we latest upgrade was completed in 2019. Go ahead.
So is that not the point of departure where ADOT is picking up the solution to then move it to the SaaS offering?
That's not how I am understanding from the presentation, but I'm just kind of like want to make sure that ADOA doesn't get a black eye that we don't upgrade our applications. We try to stay up to date with all our applications.
Okay, and I don't want to belabor the point too much, but I'll go back. You know, Mr. Dickert, is it your understanding that you're launching from, we'll say, current state of the TriRiga solution as it sits within the managed AFIS environment today?
Mr. Chair, correct.
Okay, Mr. Bruner, any follow-on?
Well, my question, Mr. Chairman, is how many TriRiga systems are there?
Well, I think there is one.
There is one.
Okay, so what's true about it? Was it upgraded in 2015 and left to die, or was it upgraded in 2019 and ADOT didn't know that?
Or what version did we get to in 2019 may be the actual question.
I needed Eddie to come along and clarify that for me, I guess.
So that may be And again, the nature of these upgrades, right? Were these security updates? Are they actual, you know, support and feature upgrades? I don't know if you know the answer to that, Joanna.
I can provide the actual version. It was done during our previous upgrade of the APHIS in 2019. So since it is part of the ERP, any upgrades to TriRiga were done at the same time when the upgrades was completed for our statewide financial system. So whatever the current TriRiga version was in 2019, that was what was upgraded at that time.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for jumping in with that, Joanna. Any other questions from the committee? If not, I will turn it back over for instructions to the committee. Yeah.
Can I get one more in there? I'm sorry.
One more. Go for
what, Mr. Diggert, I'm just wondering what other options ADOT considered. Obviously, Max Panda was one, or you know, take the current and upgrade it. Were there other options available to you?
Mr. Chair and Mr. Bruner, we did look at Max Panda to see if that was an option to continue down that path. But I think after investigation and discussions with both DES and DPS and agreement, it was decided that the best solution would be to upgrade the TriRiga solution. They've been investigating this for the past 12 months to ensure that it's the right solution. And I know they have presented it in the past to both legislation and to OSPB to give them their findings in the past.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Mr. Carpenter?
Yeah. All right, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, ASTED is recommending that the PIDG be approved with the conditions as presented.
Okay, I think this looks like our now our standard three conditions. any questions on those conditions? If not, I'll take a motion with regard to the project.
Okay, I'll move approval with the conditions as shown.
Thank you, Mr. Bruner. Do we have a second?
A second. This is Jaggy.
Thank you, Jaggy. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, that's a unanimous vote. Thank you, Steve and Wayne. Good luck to you and the team on the conversion process.
Thank you.
Okay, next item up for us is Department of Economic Security with their Data Center Disaster Recovery Project.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Bob Mussey. I'm an engagement manager with the Department of Administration. I'm joined here today by members of the Department of Economic Security, who will introduce themselves shortly, followed by a brief overview of the project. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, the Department of Economic Security Data Center is located in the Iron Mountain Data Center, a Tier 3 facility that provides redundant cooling and electrical support to systems located in the building. However, it does not provide IT disaster recovery capability. IT disaster recovery is the responsibility of DES, so therefore DES is seeking approval to back up their infrastructure and server data to the AWS cloud using VMware Cloud Disaster Recovery, which is a software as a service solution from VMware. At this time, I'll turn it over to the project team to present additional information regarding the proposed project and answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Mussey. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, good afternoon. My name is Clayton Sykes, and I'm the Deputy CIO for the Department of Economic Security. I do have presenting with me today our CIO, Mark Darmer, our Senior Project Manager for Operations, Debbie Foley, our Senior Manager for Cloud and Infrastructure Engineering, Steve Pickering, and our Disaster Recovery Manager, Lori Cunningham. Next slide, please. DES presently hosts 120 in-house applications that run on more than 700 virtual servers, which are all hosted on a VMware-based Cisco UCS FlexPod within the Desmod at Iron Mountain. And while we do have the environment configured for a relatively high degree of redundancy and high availability, we are lacking any form of true disaster recovery should the facility become unavailable due to a catastrophic event or from a massive cyber attack that would compromise the servers themselves. This not only puts the agency at risk in delivering critical services, it does also continue to haunt us from an audit standpoint. We're presenting to you today because we've identified and selected a solution that will leverage VMware SaaS offering to replicate all of our production infrastructure into the AWS cloud, thereby allowing us a 4-hour recovery time objective for our critical production systems. Next slide, please. So in selecting a solution, we had several requirements that were must-haves. First, the solution needed to fully integrate with our existing VMware deployment. The reasoning for this is that we have a significant investment in VMware technology now, both in terms of software and existing talent. Any new solution would need to provide for a rapid ramp up and familiarization with that solution. Second, the solution needed to address the replication of our virtual server infrastructure with as little impact and configuration to the servers themselves as possible. We really didn't want to go down the path of VMware conversions to different platforms. Lastly, the solution had to be cloud-based and allow for the placement of VMs into the proper area of the cloud, depending on the type and sensitivity of the data running on them. The VM placement also needed to address the potential for a 4-hour recovery time, all of which the VMware Cloud Disaster Recovery solution serves. This is, of course, a critical step in the agency's overall movement towards a more robust and actionable continuity of operations plan. Next slide, please. The VCDR offering from VMware is an easy-to-use, on-demand disaster recovery solution that is delivered via software as a service, leveraging either our existing G2B solution or, if needed, AWS Direct Connect. Our production virtual servers will be mirrored into the VMware cloud provided by AWS. Once deployed, all of our production VMs will be organized into protection groups, which are replicated to a cloud file system using regularly scheduled snapshots. We will then be able to define which snapshots to use if there is a disaster or planned recovery effort using the selected DR plans. VMs captured in these snapshots are then restarted on the recovery SDDC in the VMware cloud. Next slide, please. This solution will be deployed through the use of VMware Professional Services, with overall project management and oversight being done by internal DES resources. We have leveraged VMware Professional Services in the past on several occasions, and in every instance, we were happy with the overall outcome. After the solution has been successfully implemented, normal run activities will be handed over to our engineering team. Next slide, please. Upon receiving approval to move forward, it's our intent to engage VMware Professional Services immediately to begin that deployment effort. We do see this deployment effort as being relatively straightforward, and we anticipate the project being completed by the end of this fiscal year. Next slide, please. From an initial cost standpoint, we're looking at approximately $1.2 million to replicate all 700 production servers. At this time, non-production servers are not in scope. Further, we're anticipating the use of our existing G2P solution and firewalls as a network path into AWS. However, should we need the AWS Direct Connect solution, which essentially is the straight pipeline into AWS, we would need to submit a change request to this PIG, as the AWS Direct Connect costs are not anticipated at this time and are not reflected in these financials. Next slide, please. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, in summary, we're seeking approval to proceed forward with our requested disaster recovery solution. We feel that this solution will provide essential recovery services to the agency's mission-critical applications and will resolve several longstanding negative audit findings that continue to plague us. At this time, do we have any questions?
All right, we'll open up to the committee members for any questions. Mr. Bruner.
First out of the chute again, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Sykes, just wondering about the length of time those snapshots are going to be held for, you know, about dwell time with ransomware and whatnot, I'm sure.
Mr. Bruner, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, it is our intent to leverage those snapshots only as long as is needed to keep a current recovery window of 4 hours at this point in time, which is the RTO that we've defined from the infrastructure standpoint. Should snapshots need to exceed that based upon application needs, we will be working with the individual seven division units within DES to identify what their specific requirements are, and then we can alter accordingly.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let me ask a follow-up with my Eddie hat on, although Eddie doesn't wear the hat lately. But Mr. Sykes, how do you then ensure that a ransomwaring of any one of those VMs in your current, your actual site, is not getting transferred over into your VM environment at the AWS cloud?
Yeah, and I think you maybe just say ransomware being a great example, but not just ransomware. Whatever the attack vector is, if the system's been compromised, we'll say in your Iron Mountain environment and what's being replicated up, how do you ensure that we're not just replicating out the problem and that's all we have to go back to?
Mr. Bruner, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, this solution will not address that. We actually have put together a request package for fiscal year 24 to implement a rubric solution that will address that. This solution is to essentially protect us from, at the bare minimum, a fire in the mod. All 4 petabytes of the DES data center right now is located in a shipping container in Iron Mountain. My greatest concern and the thing that keeps me up at night is if something goes wrong there, because if it does, DES basically goes back to punch cards and typewriters. So while we have levied a very, very, I think, robust high availability and redundant system in the fact that we've carved out specific hardware and everything is replicated to dedicated NetApps, we have multiple phases of redundancy, both in terms of power, compute, networking, the whole nine yards is completely redundant at the data center. It's all within the mod confines. So the primary mission here is to protect from a loss of hardware or a non-malicious attack at that point, to be perfectly honest. The rubric solution that we're looking at pushing forward in fiscal year 24, we met with OSPB last week to discuss the implementation of that and pushing that forward to protect from ransomware specifically for the data that we do push up to the cloud.
Okay, that's interesting to know. I'll say thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll cede to somebody else who wants to ask.
Mr. Jacobino.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Sykes, a question on your timeline. I see in your success metrics that the total recovery of all servers and all VMs in 4 hours is a key success here, but I don't see anywhere in the timeline where you're going to do an actual scaled test of that to confirm that is a met success metric. Is that anywhere in the timeline? I'm just not seeing it. Or is that going to be considered a after project?
Mr. Jacobino, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, that is something that's going to be looked into after the project has rolled out. The focus of this is more or less the infrastructure. What we have not done is touch any of the applications at this point. With 120 custom applications, trying to find out the test criteria, the recovery metrics, the RPO, RTO, it was undaunting. As a matter of fact, there have been probably a half a dozen false starts of DR and DES because of the complexity of that. So we scaled this down specifically to bring the production systems only over into the cloud and in a run state. As to actual test criteria, how that needs to be documented going forward, we will be making a concerted efforts with the divisions to identify what needs to be done. All of that is going to be application and division specific based upon their requirements.
It does say, though, in your success that it, you know, just getting the run state up in 4 hours is kind of the key to all this. Is that just that part going to be tested anywhere in your timeline, or is that outside of this project?
Mr. Jacobino, Mr. Chairman, as the committee, yes, that will be tested as part of what VMware does. My apologies, misunderstood.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions from the committee?
Mr. Chairman, if I could just ask a general question. I'm just kind of struggling with this notion of the cloud as a great savings when we took the savings to go to the Iron Mountain, and now it's going to cost $1.2 million to expand our reliability from the Iron Mountain solution. Is this happening in other agencies as well, where they took savings originally and now they're having to cut back into those to do things to get great, you know, the protections and whatnot?
So I think you have to, I'll say, Mr. Mayor, I think you have to look at this in two ways. One is, if we consider Iron Mountain a cloud, right? But I would still consider, like, we're, you know, in this case, DES has made investments in hardware and physical infrastructure that sit in that facility. As part of any data center disaster recovery and COOP plan, you look for geographic redundancy. So you're either investing in hardware and infrastructure in another physical location, or in this case, you know, DES has elected to move to the cloud. Now, you know, as they progress in you know, their ongoing journey, you know, the next rounds, and I don't know, you know, and we're not really discussing this part of this project, you know, may include less and less of their infrastructure sitting in the Iron Mountain data center, and more of their applications existing natively in the cloud, which can be configured inherently with redundancy there that is both you know, that can include geographic redundancy. But in this case, you know, I think we would be looking at similar costs, whether it was in the cloud or in a separate physical data center elsewhere in the U.S. This is about creating a disaster recovery option for DES in the event that there is a catastrophic event at the local data center.
Got it. Okay. Helpful. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions? Okay. All right. I'll turn it back over. And I forgot who's got this one. Is it Mr. Carpenter? Bob, there we go.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, ASSET is recommending that the PIDGE be approved with the conditions as presented, all four of them.
Okay, any questions on the conditions?
No questions. Mr. Chairman, on point of process, do we still have a quorum after losing Eddie?
I will ask the question, Mr. Brown.
Eddie's still here.
He just went and came back. Okay.
Okay. All right, very good. If there are no questions or discussion on the conditions, we'll take a motion with regard to the project.
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve with conditions presented.
Thank you, Mr. Giacovino. Do we have a second?
Mr. Chairman, I'll second.
Thank you, Director Romer. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed or abstentions? Okay, that's unanimous. Thank you, committee. Good luck, Mr. Sykes, with the implementation of this. It seems to be a significant improvement for DES going forward. All right, last item is an informational update. There will be no voting on this item. This is with regard to the Business One-Stop Project for the Department of Administration.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Bob Mussey. I'm the Engagement Manager with the Department of Administration. I'm also joined today by members of the Department of Administration. The team will introduce themselves, then provide the committee with an informational update to the overall status of the Business One-Stop Project, page number AS21008.
Good afternoon, I'm Sabrina Canella. I am the Program Manager for Business One-Stop.
Business One Stop is an intuitive and secure online platform that supports Arizona's thriving small business community by providing entrepreneurs with a single online platform to plan, start, grow, and run businesses in Arizona. The platform continues to be built through collaborative efforts with ADOA, ADOT, ADOR, Secretary of State's Office, ACC, and the ACA. Today, I represent the program in order to provide an update on progress made last quarter, as well as deliver insights into the program's ongoing activities and anticipated future milestones. I'd like to start today by providing an update on the description of our project. As of August 24th, the program was able to release the first iteration of the portal. In this release, public users gain the ability to 1. Organize a business, 2. Establish a trade name trademark, 3. Gain tax privilege licenses, 4. Make payments to the agencies from within the portal, and 5. See real-time updates to application processing from within the Business One-Stop dashboard. Additionally, with the release of the portal, the processing time for applications has been greatly reduced for many users, as the typical user now has access to auto approvals. Finally, with the release, the program has been able to shift from a purely development-focused mindset to one of continuous development, maintenance, and future feature planning. Leading up to the release, there were several significant milestones reached. On August 9th, all APIs required for the release of the 1.0 product had been integrated by the ADOT team. This entailed the inclusion of over 100 APIs, connecting from both Business One Stop to the partner agencies. On August 24th, as noted, the portal was released, as well as the launch of the businessonestop.az.gov website. The new website was released in order to match branding with the portal, as well as provide informational text to support the portal use, to provide a roadmap, and to provide links into the portal. Additionally, as the as of the end of Q1, 35 applications for business registration, trademark, trade name, and tax applications had been received, as well as another 78 applications that had been started. I find this significant because Business One Stop was released as a part of a soft launch, meaning that there's no media around Business One Stop to date. We simply released the portal and we've been relying on organic traffic. The only additional traffic to our site is through our agency partners who have published a very short description of Business One Stop along with a link. So we are proud that we are driving traffic to the site. People are finding us and we're being able to process applications. Finally, as of October 5th, the program has released another major deployment of features to include the integrated ACC payments within the portal. In addition to providing information on the successes of our project, I would also like to provide additional information on the project status. Throughout the last quarter, the program continued to report the project in a red status due to delays in scheduled release of iterations 1.0 through 1.3. While the program did establish several countermeasures, delays continue to be exacerbated due to the identification of bugs within APIs and agency systems. Next. As reflected within the project health card, the program notes a red status due to already realized delays as well as projected delays in the previously presented timeline. Additionally, we do have logged risks. On schedule, while the program celebrates the release of the 1.0 product, the product was released approximately 3 weeks late as the program was tracking for an intended release on August 3rd. Delays to this release were primarily due to technical changes in API validators without prior notification. Due to these changes, the ADOT team, who is responsible for the integration of APIs into the portal, was required to research the new requirements and refactor all previously written code. Overall, this additional work resulted in a delay of about 14 working days. Continuing through the quarter, the ADOA program team, ADOT, and ACC were faced with the continued development of 1.1 through 1.3 features in order to provide additional feature functionality to LLC and PLLC business owners. However, due to delays with the ability to re-engage the ACC after the 1.0 release, delays in transferring APIs needed for the 1.1 feature from ACC to ADOT, and consequently delays with the ability to integrate those 1.1 features, there were subsequent delays in the timeline. At this time, the program anticipates that all remaining 1.1 through 1.3 features will be released late. Our final projected feature release date is November 30th. Finally, as the program is continuing to build out a product that is presently available to the public, there is a heightened awareness on the ability to maintain system stability and user access. The program will continue to collaborate with partner agencies and ADOT to research and quickly act on any identified bugs within the production space in order to avoid user visibility and impact. I highlight this note because this is something that could potentially pose a risk to our timeline. On milestones, the program is looking forward to several upcoming milestones as noted. First, the release of additional 1.1 features. We do have some that are getting released into the public product today. Two, the release of 1.2 features. Our anticipated release of those is on November 2nd. Third, the governor's press release and overall rollout of the program's media toolkit. We're anticipating this release during the week of November 14th. Fourth, the release of 1.3 features. These are the features that we're anticipating release by November 30th. And then fifth, the continued planning of phase two feature development. This is in line with the approval that we received from JLBC. The program intends to maintain engagement with partner agencies for phase two planning throughout the remainder of this calendar year. On budget, the program continues to operate under budget and remains confident with the soundness of our high level forecasts. On risks. The program continues to maintain risks related to gaps and changes within technical documentation, changes within technical requirements for requested features, and latency in the identification of bugs within the pre-production spaces. So this is really within our development and testing spaces. The program is working with partner agencies to explore various countermeasures around document audits, test scripting, additional integrated tests within the development cycle, and increased transparency around test results. Finally, strained relationships with some of the key participants involved in the program has resulted in latency around the troubleshooting of bugs, the testing of new features, and bug fix releases. Additionally, this has also impacted our ability to access APIs developed by third parties. However, even more importantly, these relationships have impacted the morale of many members on the team. Again, the program remains invested in improving these relationships. This is critical for our ability to maintain its stability as a program, as well as progressive development within the product. Next. I'm representing our project timeline. Since our last meeting, there's only been one minor update to this information, and that update comes in the FY23 Q2. Here I've more clearly identified that the program will continue to develop, test, and release 1.1 through 1.3 features, along with maintaining the public portal and planning for phase two. As you'll see here in FY23 Q3, we will intend for additional feature releases. This will come with continued support of the program, as well as phase two planning. Next. All right, and then our next update will be to ITAC in FY23 Q3. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Sabrina. Committee members, any questions or discussion? Rebecca.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Sabrina. It sounds like you're moving into planning for phase two while you're still struggling to complete phase one. What do you think, or what are you planning to do differently in the next set, in the next round of functionality? To this project's been slow to start for a while. So what do you anticipate doing differently in lessons learned and moving forward?
Yeah, I really appreciate the question. There are a lot of organizational steps that we've thought through from a program perspective and how we can run the program. We do think that from a leadership perspective, we can take a stronger role as ADOA sponsoring the program. We also think that from our relationship building perspective, there are several steps of learning that we're able to implement, things around process documentation, you know, the cadence of communication, simply releases, change management releases. There's a lot of these procedural steps that we've been able to learn from and start to implement as our program becomes more mature. We'll continue to refine these in phase two. We do know that within phase two, we now have an active system that's out for public use. So we want to ensure that we're even more cautious.
Any further questions, Rebecca? Okay. All right. Anyone else? All right. Sabrina, thank you for the update. I know it's been a tough row in spots. Pleased to see that the project scope and content is still intact. Although I know you're working through the delays. So it'll be good to get this out. So with that is the last item on our agenda. Our next meeting is scheduled for November 16th. So that'll be our pre-Thanksgiving edition. No special dress required. We look forward to seeing you then. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
All right, team, let's go ahead and stop the streamings and the recording.
YouTube broadcast.